father of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A couple of news and notes from the NFL. First, it looks like it's getting closer and closer that Dan Snyder's going to get voted out.
Well, I know. The owners are basically getting their votes together, and I think they're just done with him.
As soon as he started stealing money,
all the other stuff.
No.
All the other stuff.
Oh,
like,
that's okay.
But then, wait, he's withholding money?
Yeah.
No.
It looks like the Bears are going to do a lot more, they say, moving the pocket, rolling out bootlegs for Justin Fields. Agree?
Yeah, smart, I think.
I think so, too.
Although, you know, let's just be honest here. They didn't do it at Ohio State, so I don't know that it's necessarily going to work. Not everyone can throw on the move. The roll in the pocket thing a lot of times is when you have a weaker offensive line. I think in this particular instance, basically the Bears are saying, we know he can run a little bit. We know he's a good athlete. We're going to give him a chance to, A, get out of the pocket because the pocket, we don't trust it, and B, it'll play to his strength of being able to get on the move and potentially use his legs. So, I don't mind it, but I do want to point out Ohio State did some zone read stuff, but a lot of their quarterbacks work from the pocket.
So. It's unbelievable how many people think that Justin Fields is just the worst quarterback in the NFL right now.
Is that a prevailing notion?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was terrible last year, but he didn't have a lot of help. And he was a rookie.
He had no line. I don't know that he's going to be much better, but this that we're giving up, I mean, if Josh Allen didn't prove anything else, it proved, wait, because you don't know in 1 year
wait.
In.
Yeah, you got to wait.
You got to wait. The kid's got a lot of talent. Let's see if he can do anything with it. Holy crap. Jadeveon Clowney, $11 million. Jadeveon's winning.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, but he keeps one. I mean, he wants a longer-term guaranteed deal, and all he can get is 1 year.
But he just keeps collecting every year, every year.
I don't know that I would call this winning. The guy's never gotten a legitimate second contract from anybody. He was drafted in 14. Like
you
most
can't
of those
trust
guys,
him for more than a year, though.
That's the problem. Is everyone knows who Jadeveon is? He hasn't fooled anybody.
That's the incentive, though. He got a carrot dangling out in front of him.
Oh, this is team friendly.
Yeah,
every one of these are team friendly.
And it incentivizes him. There's no question.
But it hasn't up to this point.
If you gave him a 4-year deal, you know the Jadeveon Clowney you might get.
No. You can't. So that's the problem. It's always in the team side. He keeps waiting for contracts. It doesn't pop. No contract pops up that is. Now, he has turned one down, I think, before from the Titans. But he's had opportunities. Or no, it's from Seattle. He's had opportunities, and he's kind of passed on them. And now it's just basically everyone says, we'd love to have Clowney, but I don't want to guarantee him more than a year. Or maybe they do want him for more than a year, and his agent says, we're not taking $11 million for, a year for two straight years. We think he's worth more than that. Jadeveon's going to be through his career. You know what will happen? He will have been a 1-year guy. He will be a 2-year guy and a 1-year guy, and that's it.
No.
He will have gone through his entire career as the first pick of the draft and turned into a year-by-year guy who doesn't make top-end money because he didn't put the time in he needed to. He was a guy who didn't practice. For everyone who wants players not to do any, don't ever practice, don't ever play, it's great. It's not great. And what happens is a guy doesn't develop his game. He doesn't develop his rush. He was known as a guy who wouldn't practice at South Carolina. Houston allowed him to do some of that stuff, and it didn't do him any favors. He didn't develop his game, and he learned too late. He's out at Danny Arnold's working out, talking to my dad at one point, who was working out Max Sharping before COVID hit. He didn't get enough time with Max Sharping, unfortunately. But, my dad loved Clowney. He thought Clowney was great to talk to. He said, he's a smart guy. He understands and he talks a lot about needing to do this and needing to do that. Man, these guys are catching up with me. I gotta really get serious about my game. He's admitted it. He's admitted he didn't put the time in. But now we're getting to the point where it may be too late in his career. So, there's always a place for Jadeveon's still talented. He's still good against the run.
And 9 sacks.
He's still a great athlete. He's never gotten to the double-digit sack mark, and he's the first pick of the draft. You know who else is in that draft? Aaron Donald. You're not even close to Aaron Donald's status. Not even close. Khalil Mack. Mack has fallen off. Khalil Mack's done way more than Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
Johnny Football.
Yeah.
You know, he was in that draft. Johnny, you haven't done as nearly as much as Johnny Football.
No.
Just kidding. I just seeing if you were listening to what I said. I said Johnny Football. You haven't done it nearly as much as Johnny Football.
That's right. You haven't done anything close to Johnny.
Well, Johnny's done a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's just not football.
Well, I love that about Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny's done stuff.
I mean, Johnny
is
does
Johnny's,
stuff all the time.
Is still in the fan league where fans get to tell him what plays to run? Is he still doing that league?
Yeah.
That Michael Vick
Michael
is going
Vick's
into
in it now?
Terrell Owens, Michael Vick. It's basically just turned into like a flag football league for you know, an old-timers league. And Johnny.
Yeah. I want to got my guy Brandon Whedon in it. That'd be cool. We could be great. Maybe make a comeback. That'd be totally sweet. Get out there, Brandon. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We really haven't touched on the basketball game. We haven't really touched on the fact that, you know, you did mention it. The Celtics and the Heat, that series isn't over. But I was shocked. Just shocked. Now, you know, we talked about Marcus Smart and Al Horford not being there. We never talked about Kyle Lowry not being there for the Heat. Kyle Lowry made a huge difference for them coming back. And, oh, by the way, Jimmy Butler got his knee twisted, grabbed a little bit, too, by Pritchard.
Yeah.
How come nobody's saying anything about that?
The cheap shot. Oh, they were today on ESPN.
Were they?
That was the big deal, yeah. I mean, it was a dirty play. Yeah, it was a trip move. It was very much a Grayson Allen move, like a Duke. You know, where Grayson would, somebody's about to beat him, so he sticks his leg out. Same kind of deal. Jimmy may have to bounce the ball.
Well, it just happened in the last series where the leg was grabbed and sent him to the sideline.
Well, John Morant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of, I think he was going after the ball, but yeah, it was a major deal. John Morant was out for the rest of the series, even though they played great after that.
And Jimmy Butler was out, and yet the Heat was able to,
well,
to
a
hold
big deal.
Him. Well, Kyle Lowry coming back was kind of a big deal.
It's a huge deal. Kyle Lowry coming back is a huge deal. It could be one of those things that changes the face of the playoffs. Now, the Heat do have a 2-1 lead, but let's be real. They came back. I mean, the Seas almost came back from down more than 20 to, you know, I don't want to say to win the game, but they pushed the boulder all the way up the hill, and then, you know, once you got there, they just didn't have enough to get over the top. But that is a really good series. I think the Heat and Celtics are going to continue to be a good series. I expect the Celtics like 6.5-point favorite, 7-point favorite tonight, depending on where you look. Makes some sense. You know, on the surface, you want to say, ooh, that's too many points. But at the same time, when that momentum gets rolling at Boston, it can be a tough place to win for opposing teams. So,
well, hey, the home court doesn't mean anything in this series. Nothing.
No.
So, it doesn't matter where these two teams are playing. It depends on who's showing up defensively, that's for sure, because the Heat sure did show up defensively, and they jumped out in a hurry and just buried him. Did a hell of a job. And then the other series is unfortunately 3-0. I thought for sure that Dallas was going to come back at home, and it's just a bad matchup. Some people made a point. Phoenix would have been a much better matchup for Golden State than Dallas is.
Yeah.
It would have
really forced your hand at multiple positions. Here, Dallas is, you know, it's Luka and the guys.
Yep.
And they've got multiple defenders who can guard Luka, and they can make it hard on him to get his points. It's not Dallas is
Dinwiddie's nice. Finney Smith's nice. Brunson's nice.
And that's on Phoenix for choking off two straight. You had two to win one, and you couldn't do it. So that's on you.
813 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. RJ sent us a piece in ranking the number one picks. Did you see that thing? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Ranking the number one picks.
Let's
do that on the other side here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, right now, I need you to talk about Craig Day Surf.
Craig Surf is at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Great offers from Chevy Buick GMC at all times. They have a variety of things to choose from in terms of finding the vehicle that's right for you. And at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, you're located in Angleton. But in Angleton, they have some terrific deals, and they have great people. There's very little turnover at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Like, I may not be out there for 6 months, 8 months. I get there, same people in service, the same service riders, the same sales reps. Jeff is there. Jeff is a guy that I deal with that takes care of a lot of things. If I'm if I'm too busy to get out to Angleton, like in the middle of draft season this year when I was doing my draft write-up, they brought the new Chevy Traverse. I switched out my two-and-a-half-year lease. My wife is on a three-year lease. Brought the car in, and I did the trade-out, the swap-out here in Houston. They do that on a regular basis, not just for me because I speak for them. They're headed to Sugar Land in Houston all the time because they're running stuff into car buyers who don't have an opportunity to get out to Angleton. They make sure that they meet you where you live if you need to get it done. But, of course, heading out to Angleton is great because it's an easy drive. It's about 42 minutes from downtown, but you are going to get sales experience is second to none. They never hassle you. They never hustle you. And I'll give you an example of some of the things going on right now. If you need your vehicle serviced, they've got oil change, tire rotation, new tires, multi-point vehicle inspections. They do it all. You get the best in the business, all-female service rider team who mean business. They've doubled up in May, so you've got more of the things in stock that you need, and they've got more workers there to take care of you. You get 10% off of any service if you mention ESPN 97.5. 10% off of any service for the rest of the month. Make sure you take advantage of it. Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. Go to LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. My bad with the tease. Kylie McDaniel is joining us right now from ESPN. He's a baseball insider, and he is with us here to talk some Major League Baseball. Kylie, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you being here. Tell us about Future Value and the book that you wrote here. It is The Battle for Baseball's Soul and How Teams Will Find the Next Superstar. Give us a little bit, a little preview of it.
Yeah, so I'm in my mid-30s, and when I was graduating high school, when the book Moneyball came out, and the basic premise of that was numbers are replacing scouts. You know, everyone look out. And that didn't end up happening because it was just numbers on a piece of paper. It was, you know, on base percentage and fielding percentage and things like that that are useful, but not that useful. And now that thing is happening because we have those numbers like exit velocity and, you know, machine learning and things like that. Some of the stuff you'll see in the broadcast from StatCast. Now scouts are getting replaced by those numbers. And so myself and Eric Longenhagen that I worked with at Fangraphs decided to sort of write the book about, like, how that came about, how that's happening, how it's affecting baseball, how teams are making decisions and all that kind of thing.
Is that why Adley Rutschman was brought up this weekend?
That is sort of combined into that suite of things where if you want to think of, you know, like Mitt Romney used to work for Bain Capital, the kind of place that just does a bunch of spreadsheets and then fixes the company, in quotes, and all of a sudden everybody makes a lot of money. That approach has come to baseball, and that approach is why guys will magically stay in the minors the same amount of time, you know, that same 3 or 4 weeks or whatever it might be, that optimizes their service time so they can, the teams can have the control for one extra year. So, yeah, I guess that is like sort of one of the extensions of that is that most teams do that in that situation.
You know, I think it's really, truly incredible that what has happened in terms of baseball, and I mean fans of all ages. My dad was talking about exit velocity the other day. He was kind of using it as a joke, but it's into the lexicon of the general public because I think a lot of these broadcasts, the broadcasters that are headed up a lot of times, the color commentators are going to be former players. Jeff Blum does a great job on the Astros broadcast of introducing that stuff. And I think having the tech that you mentioned, StatCast, I want you to – can you expound on StatCast a little bit for the listeners? Because everything that you see on the broadcast now comes from – I think everything comes from StatCast now. I think it's amazing what we see with spin rate and exit velo and all the different things that we get on our broadcast now, not to mention there's even more, I would assume, that the teams have access to.
Yeah, the short version is there were some early versions of it where they were called TrackMan, and now there's a more advanced version of it called StatCast. And the basic idea is there's a set of cameras that takes a picture of the field like 100 times a second, And it used to just tell you what the ball was doing. So it would tell you, like, within an inch where the ball was at all times, and then of all those, like, 50 times per second. And the same would be happening when you hit the ball. It can tell you where it is every, you know, every 1/50th of a second where it was. And so obviously that tells you a lot of things about spin rates and how much it breaks and what direction you hit it, how high you hit it, how hard you hit, all that kind of stuff. Well, now they do it with the body. So they can tell you, like, this guy, because you start seeing sometimes, like, oh, this guy closed 100 feet in 2.3 seconds with a top speed of 32.3 miles per hour. That's the fastest, you know, any center fielder has been so far in baseball. Like, now because you can track the body that well, you can do all kinds of stuff like that. And now the defensive metrics and base running metrics are getting much more accurate than they were before. Because it used to just be, this guy is standing in one of the 120 boxes on the field. Then he got over two boxes over there. And a lot of guys can't move two boxes. Like, it's still, like, pretty primitive. And that was, like, 7-8 years ago. That's how we were doing it. And now it's, you know, much more advanced. And the teams have even more advanced stuff than we have.
Kylie McDaniel with us here, ESPN, K-I-L-E-Y-M-C-D, at Kylie M-C-D on Twitter if you want to follow him and his information. Good stuff. Kylie, how's it gonna work, though? Most a lot of the players in the big leagues are coming from Latin American countries. Is that stuff down there yet, or you still got to use your human eye down there?
It's definitely more down there. I know in the book I talked to, there's a couple chapters based on the international, signing international free agents, largely at 16 years old, which I did for a couple years. You know, talked to the guys that signed Vlad Jr., Jason Dominguez, and some of the really big names, and they'll tell their stories. And you can tell the stories within the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years. We'll mention, like, I know when the Yankees signed Luis Severino, their scouting director told me, like, oh, we had 6 guys in a workout. All of them wanted about $200,000. We had room to sign one, maybe two of them, and he had the best extension out of all of them, and we couldn't really tell them apart. They looked about the same to us, but this guy had a really good extension, and we knew that that's, like, a good indicator at that age of, like, improvement, so we took him. And that's all based on, like, a TrackMan readout. And I know there's another example, I think it's in the book, of another team that there was a workout of, like, a bunch of different trainers that train players down there. Had a big workout for all 30 teams to watch them. It was happened to be at this team's facility, and a guy was on the mound throwing warm-up pitches, and the team that owned the facility was standing in the tower watching all 4 fields, and they saw this guy warming up, saw the numbers of, like, curveball spin rates coming out of his hand during warm-ups, and waved out and said, take him off the mound. We're signing him right now. We don't want the other 29 teams seeing what we're seeing on these numbers right now.
Hmm. Hey, last week I saw a bunch of guys, of experts, talking about who – all the different awards so far this year, and they had Justin Verlander, like, third on their list of American League Cy Young Award candidates. Is that just Astros hate? Is there any reason that Justin Verlander shouldn't be on everyone's list as the number one Cy Young Award candidate right now?
Yeah, at this juncture, I feel like it's hard to have, like, a set like, oh, this is one, this is two, this is three, just because, like, anybody can have two hot starts and go from, like, fifth to first, just because it's so early. If you're just sort of looking at, you know, who has the best, you know, WAR, ERA, or strikeout rate, or, you know, whatever your sort of number du jour is. But I would say, in terms of, like, who has been the most impressive, like, he's right there in the top, you know, 3 to 5 guys, depending on, you know, over at the entire league, you know, based on whatever metric you want to use. But the fact that he's the age that he is, coming off of a Tommy John, like, is by far the most impressive anyone's done in baseball. And I think that's probably that, along with his, you know, name recognition, chance to go deep in the playoffs, all that kind of thing. I think it's a pretty good tiebreaker when it comes time for award time, if it ends up being very close, which it often is. So, yeah, I would say he's certainly deep in that conversation. I'm looking at some of the main numbers right now, and, like, yeah, you could argue he's the best guy if you want to, but I think he's been the most impressive by a mile.
I'm curious if, in terms of the next man up, the next players up and the stars up, how much of what we've talked about so far in the technology that's used in baseball, how much of that has crept into college or into, you know, lower levels of baseball, even if it gets into high school? Is it too expensive, or do they have data on those players as well that they're using?
Yeah, it's actually been very interesting. It's another thing that gets covered in the book, obviously, because it's, you know, that stuff is getting everywhere. There are the TrackMan sort of system, the stuff that was sort of bleeding edge in baseball at the big league level, like, 8 or 10 years ago, that now is at the top college programs. I think something like 80 of Division I programs, almost the entire SEC and most of the ACC, have that in their stadiums. And so, you know, pretty much any pitch, you know, like Ben Joyce at Tennessee is throwing 105. And a lot of times you'll see something like that at, like, you know, a slower, pro speed or mid-tier college or whatever it is, and you're like, man, I'll have to call a scout and see how hard that guy throws. But, like, in the SEC, pretty much every pitch is thrown on TrackMan, so, like, you have as good calibration there as you do in the big leagues. So that's pretty much everywhere. High school for, like, some of the bigger, like, summer events, you'll see it. And there are actually a couple of high schools, like the very best ones in Southern California, that actually have it. I mean, these things cost like $20,000 a year to have them installed and run, and you have to have somebody there dedicated to go through all the data and make sure it's correct. So there's like a lot of infrastructure that needs to exist. Obviously, colleges, when you're selling out giant stadiums and you have, you know, student assistants running around everywhere, they can do that. But there's like some high schools doing it, and we're starting to see it. Like, I'm helping with some startups. Like, it's starting to pop up now, where the idea is, well, if you want to know where you stand on teams' draft boards or on colleges' recruiting boards, you shouldn't have to pay $1,000 to go to an event and have some company kind of give you a generic, lame, vague answer about where you stand on this. You should be able to get like a, you know, somewhat automated, but also somewhat personalized. Like, oh, you need to like, you know, change how you grip your curveball like this. You need to throw it in this direction in this part of the zone. And you need to throw your fastball, you know, with this grip over here. Like, there are some, I think, pretty, you don't have to tailor that much to the player. So you give them an idea of what the teams would like to see and then give them like a better fighting chance. So that's kind of the frontier now. It's sort of like mid-level D1, D2, maybe even like D3, don't play college, baseball kind of people. How do they get insights from this information? That's kind of where things are now. Mm.
Kylie McDaniel here. Before we let you go, has baseball messed with the baseball?
Sure seems like it, and I think their credibility on this topic is like pretty low, because it seems like every time they admit something happened, it's because three articles have been written by very smart people talking about how something obviously happened. Look at this data. And I think they're trying to dial it in. I also think there is some level of, if you go through like the different parts of this conversation, I think there's some level of, we'd like to improve it. Also, we can't control all of the various undulations of what the ball looks like. And also, we're not going to admit to anything until it's obvious if we've done it. So if you assume that some version of that is happening, if it's like a small change or it happens for a week or two or whatever, then maybe they don't know and it's just like sort of random chance and whatnot. And if it seems to be happening, like I think we're looking at now for, you know, a month or two, and they say they're trying to change things, then they're probably behind most of it.
Mm. That's Kylie McDaniel, at KylieMCD on Twitter, and follow him. I just followed you. I appreciate it. We're good stuff, man. Great information, and we really appreciate you joining us this morning.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Okay, there's Kylie McDaniel right here, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5.
When we come back, I want to follow up on some stuff he talked about and just give some people some perspective, because I'm working in the space of football, and baseball, like, when we come back, I'll talk about, I've been working with companies on player tracking stuff and football, and some of the, I'm amazed at what baseball has. Honestly, amazed at what you have on a baseball broadcast, because I have some insight into what it takes. And I think baseball is, I want to get into basketball, baseball, and football, where they stand, because your football watching experience is going to change drastically within the next 5 years.
All right. Right now, though, so is your hydration going to change drastically. And listen, it's affordable. It is better. It is just it. And if you want to be better at golf, you want to be better at your workouts, you want to be better at football, baseball, whatever it is, you need to be hydrated. Because when you are dehydrated at any level, your performance is not going to be as good. Like, there is it's real. It's real. This is not, you know, making up, trying to sell water. HOW. Hyper pure oxygenated water will help you. If you're a young man, if you're somebody that is working out and you're cramping, you're feeling like you're not getting the most out of your workout or whatever, maybe you are not hydrating as well as you need to, especially in this heat and this humidity, you are going to become dehydrated. So go to drinkhowwater.com. Drinkhow, H-O-W, water.com. Hyper pure oxygenated water. It is going to help you in your performance. So if you're looking for a great way to get better, affordable, delivered to your house, and you get 20% off if you put in John 20, drinkhowwater.com, John 20.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Hey, guys, let me tell you about Underdog Fantasy. I know you played last year during football. Now is the time to sign up. Last year's winner drafted, well, I don't know if it's a him or her, drafted in June. So there's no time like the present to join Underdog Fantasy and take your shot at a $1 million draft. Plus, Underdog is going to double your first deposit up to $100 when you sign up with the promo code RADIO. That's four free entries into Best Ball Mania 3. That's what I'm talking about. Best Ball Mania 3 is here. $10 million in total prize money. And the best part is you just draft your fantasy football team. That's it. No trades, no waivers, no in-season management. It's that simple. So what are you waiting for? Head to underdogfantasy.com. Go to the App Store and sign up for Underdog with the promo code RADIO. You're going to get a $100 bonus when you use the promo code RADIO. That's equal to four entries into Best Ball Mania 3. Why would you not take your shot at $10 million worth of prizes? Underdogfantasy.com, promo code RADIO.
All right, welcome back. 834 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you. All right, so
Baseball is so far ahead. Yeah, so this is what I've worked with a company out of Sweden. It goes by the name of Signality, and Signality is really unbelievable. The guy who started it is the same guy. Well, one of the guys who started it, his tech is the same guy who created the facial recognition on Apple. So when you unlock your phone with your face, that same guy has got a player tracking, and he works with Major League Baseball because they do limb tracking. So these cameras can track your pivot points, your elbow, your wrist, your shoulder, your knee. They can do limb tracking, 3D limb tracking. You've got to have cameras installed at the stadium. We actually had them installed at LSU last year, but they're not the right kind of cameras. They need to be a different type of camera. But they can track football in real time to where they're already doing it for soccer. So they could, in theory, track football in real time. The problem is, John, they're not really doing football right now. They are waiting to do football because football is not – soccer has been – it's a big, wide-open field. It's easy for the computer vision to look at it. What their program would do is as soon as you walk on the football field, you're immediately tracked. The computer vision is now tracking your movements. There's a group out of France called Skill Corner that we're working with now that can read game tape from the different – you know, the two different angles, and they can tell you your speed. It can create speed numbers for high school, college teams, and we're going to be working with them. But what's amazing to me is you find out the cost of you've heard of catapult, right? Catapult measures basically your work rate. How fast are you running? How much distance have you covered? What is your heart rate? It measures all that stuff. That's great. I think catapult's awesome. The problem is with those wearable technologies, they're really, really, really expensive. And not all programs can afford to have them in college. The big programs get it, and the NFL teams will get it. And there's other technologies as well. There's these incredible – University of Texas has this 3D technology. It's an enclosure. You step in it, and you can just bend down on one leg and jump as high as you can, and it'll show you where you're loading your weight. Like, is it more in your hips, in your quads?
Well, I was just at a symposium.
In your calf?
At the Gauss last week, they had all this technology there, sports technology there, and one of them was exactly, you put it in the weight room, you put the cameras in the weight room, and it shows where, while you're lifting, exactly what muscles are being affected
and it can change what you're lifting. Yancey, when Yancey showed
if you're not standing up straight, you know, you're maybe putting too much pressure on your back or whatever
What it does is it tells the strength coach, okay, we need to change this, or one of the things we found is you're much stronger in your right leg than your left leg. You're firing from your calf instead of your hips. Mm-hmm. So we got to get you to start firing from your hips when you explode up. And it's great. The thing is with football, it's really far behind looking at, you know, picking up the, I've been looking into tech that picks up the revolutions of the football and things like that and the velocity of football. And this group Signality will be able to do that if they ever end up starting to collect from NFL and college football. That's what makes baseball so incredible. The StatCast, a smaller ball that they can pick up that's going that much faster, they're able to give this information to you as quickly. I don't know why StatCast isn't working in the NFL. Like, I'm kind of curious to that. What baseball has with launch angles, very, very quickly they turn it over. It can't be done instantaneously. It takes time. But their launch angles, their exit velocity, their spin rates, all this stuff being, you know, to see where the baseball actually ends up in a strike zone, I just think, I don't know if people recognize how incredible it is to watch a baseball broadcast and to have all of this technology that's basically been implanted into the broadcast. You're getting next level tech as part of your broadcast experience. And not just that, the MLB app, the at-bat, you know, app that you get, the ability to go dig up on FanGraphs, you know, all the data that you want to find on any of these pitchers, spin rate, velocity, everything, that's available, readily available. Basketball with Second Spectrum, and I know Stats was the first to have the Sport View cameras that basically the NBA purchased. What the NBA uses is incredible. Now, they have it behind the scenes, but one of the reasons Jeremy Lin, they found that he was having success when they dug into the numbers. His second step was so quick. It's measuring first step, second step quickness. His second step was unbelievably quick. Well, I'm working with companies trying to get, I want to get pass sets, right, for an offensive tackle. When you're setting out to in your pass protection, you do the pass slides. I want to see who's doing it the quickest. I want to start measuring that speed. I worked with, for 2 months, I did a collaboration with Zebra Technology, and it paid well. I wish it would last forever, but they weren't collecting that stuff, and they're like, well, we're already collecting other stuff. We just don't have time, and we can't do limb tracking. Like, it's amazing that basketball and baseball is so far ahead of football.
Yeah,
all this stuff.
Well, we're seeing more miles per hour now on the football field.
Uh-huh.
You know, a guy, you know, who,
that's machine learning. You can pick it up. Yeah. What I was told is the X and Y axis. You take a football field, and you got the X axis and Y axis, and now you have the ability through machine learning to pick up your X and Y axis. Now, what Signality is going to be able to do is get the Z axis, which is the vertical, which no one's collecting the vertical. Because they have the 3D cameras that can track your limb, they'll at some point be able to tell you how high a guy jumped. You know, the Amazon Web Service.
All right, just with your eyes, who's the best jumper? Who's the best vertical in the NFL?
Well, that's kind of cheating because I get the combine stuff. But I would say just off my eyes watching, probably Tyreek Hill.
You think?
Oh, Tyreek, he's tiny and gets up and beats people at the catch point sometime, at the high point. I mean, I'm not talking about he gets the highest of anyone because he's shorter.
Yeah.
But just purely off the ground, I think Tyreek has some of the best ups that is in the league. I don't even know what his combine or pro day 40 was, but look how many times he's won those. He can jump up and challenge much bigger defensive backs for those
just
high point
off
catches.
The top of the, well, you saw. What did Drake London do?
Drake's, I don't know if
what
he,
was
I gotta
vertical?
See, it was in the 30s, but he's long and tall, so he can get up higher. Right. Like, it doesn't matter. Okay, 37-inch vertical leap, another guy's got 41. So who cares? It's A, do you time your jump well?
Yeah.
To get to the top. And number two, do you get full arm extension? Drake London gets full arm extension.
I would imagine
that's why he's a problem.
I would imagine D-Hop does too.
D-Hop does too. That's why if you measured how high they are because of their length and their size, Drake London might be at the very top of the list because he's Mike Evans too. I mean,
yeah.
We're talking about guys who are 6'4". Like Calvin Johnson maybe was the greatest of all time. Kyle Pitts is going to be right there too. Kyle Pitts is 6'4", 6'5", with a 40 over 40 vertical. I mean, he's probably the highest. He can probably get higher. He could probably reach the highest point on a wall. If you ask any pass catcher in football, just jump up and touch an area on the wall. Who can get there the highest? Got to be Kyle Pitts.
Really?
Arm length, vertical
even
leap.
With the weight
height.
He's got on him.
Yeah, because he's like, I want to say he's a 40-inch vertical guy.
Oh.
That's why he's a unicorn.
All right, when we come back. We are going to, I want to do this, number one overall pick in the NBA and rank them over the last 10 years, because there was a graphic out that this weekend that was just, I was like, what? Shut up. Your graphic is stupid. But before we do that, did you know what, did
Tyreek
you see
Hill's vertical, by the way, 40 and a half inches.
Did you see this? Here's a headline. Pope Francis shares secret recipe for a bad knee. a shot of tequila.
So this is so similar to your, you know, earlier you talked about your height, your pain killing that you use was
Coors Light.
Was Coors Light. I like to use Maestro Dobel to kind of smooth things out.
It's well, a, what it's the Pope a, does too.
He does too. It's I a mean, smoothing mechanism. Okay. We need to get the Pope.
If you're Catholic, what should you be drinking?
Maestro Dobel. The Pope just said it. He didn't, in his own words, say
well, he
that,
said something like it.
But he intimated that, you know, go get yourself a high-quality tequila. And I, oh, look at this. Lance always tells us about Maestro Dobel. I had Alex, who's a longtime listener. He sent me a picture of his Maestro Dobel. I love when you guys send me pictures of, you know, enjoying your bottles of Maestro Dobel. He had a little Topo Chico with it, so he was having some tequila and soda with some lime. That's how he likes to enjoy his Maestro. How do you enjoy your Maestro? I like to enjoy mine sipping. I have had it in tequilas and in cocktails. I make a Trinidad sour, but I switch out the rye with a nice reposado. It's one of the cocktails I like to use, and I use the Maestro Dobel reposado. A lot of people like to make their cocktails with the Diamante, which is their Cristalino. The Cristalino, man, that's a special type of tequila now. You got three varieties of tequila that are all charcoal filtered and aged, and that process creates an incredible finish and flavor profile for a grouping that was created by Maestro Dobel, and it's called the Cristalino. So if you haven't tried that, the Diamante, you really should. Maestro Dobel, wherever fine liquors are sold, you're going to find a top-shelf tequila at affordable prices. It's Maestro Dobel.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Over the last 10 years, here are the number one picks in the NBA, starting 10 years ago. Anthony Davis, right? Pretty good. Anthony Bennett. Andrew Wiggins.
You're going in order.
Then. In order.
Because Anthony Bennett.
Anthony Bennett is second. Great. Yeah, was 9 years ago. Andrew Wiggins was 8 years ago. Karl Anthony Towns. Ben Simmons. Markel Fultz. DeAndre Ayton. Zion Williamson. Anthony Edwards. Cade Cunningham. Rank them.
Okay, now that I know there's going to be a test, give him to me again. Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Yep.
Over the last 10 years, Anthony Davis, Anthony Bennett, Andrew Wiggins, Cat, Karl Anthony Towns, mm-hmm. Ben Simmons, Markel Fultz, DeAndre Ayton, Zion, Anthony Edwards, Cade Cunningham.
Okay, last is Bennett.
Last is Bennett. Okay, you want to go from the, okay.
I'm just going to fill them in. Let's see, last would be Bennett. Yep. Let's just get that out of the way. Next to last would be Fultz.
Yep, agree.
Top, I'll make Anthony Davis one.
Anthony Davis.
But I'm telling you, I think Cat is worth a discussion at number one right now.
Okay.
I mean, Cat is playing basketball.
That's different.
You kind of have to be able to play basketball to be at the top of a list, don't you?
Right.
So I'll make it Anthony Davis for now. Then I would say Karl Anthony Towns two. I would say you know, I don't want to disrespect Simmons. This has been 1 year he hasn't played. He's been a pretty good player.
He's an all-star.
And Ayton is a guy who is kind of dependent upon others. Wiggins, can I make Wiggins three?
I'd say Edwards is three.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. I forgot Anthony Edwards. I put Edwards three. I'll put Simmons four.
Okay.
I'll go 8-5, Wiggins 6. Wiggins is having but I understand it. It's easy right now to say Wiggins higher because he's kind of making a little bit of a comeback. I'd be okay with it going Wiggins and 8. Then I guess you go Zion, Fultz, and
Cunningham?
What's that?
Where you got Cunningham?
Oh, no. I'll put Cade below Zion.
I'm going to put him ahead of Zion.
Well, I mean, he's only played one year.
I know, but Zion doesn't play any years.
I know, but when Zion plays, he's really, really good.
Well, he doesn't play.
But he's got more years under his belt. He's played 86 games. That's a lot.
86 games over 17 years.
That's a lot. If you think about it, if you really, really think about it.
All right, RJ, you love basketball. Give me what is yours? Your list.
Why is this so difficult? Well, I'm going to go 81, just because 80 is a champion. So out of like that whole list, there's one champ.
Could you see your list changing after 2 years? Could you see yourself dropping AD if he doesn't? If Cat were to – I'm assuming Cat's going to be two for you. It might be Anthony Edwards. I don't know.
I'll say Cat's – Cat's number two. Ben Simmons, I'll say Ben Simmons is number three because, I mean, you know, as much as we want to hate on this guy has been a defensive player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I, you know, based off those accolades alone, I'll put the guy with the highest upside. Well, I'll just give you my five. It's going to be Anthony Davis, one, Cat, two, Simmons, three, eight and four, Anthony Edwards, five.
Really? You got eight ahead of Edwards.
But right now, I just think that this guy...
You're making people do it a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Making them put some skins. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Mine is Anthony Davis is one. I got Edwards two. I've got Karl Anthony Towns three.
You're putting Edwards two ahead of Cat?
I think Anthony Edwards I think he's a beast. I think he's going to be a great, great player.
But you're projecting. Listen, you're not doing now.
Well, this year I think he could have been the best player on that team. You know, I think.
I mean, he's 21 now. Look, he had a great year last year. He's 19.3 points a game, 21 points a game, but he averages 4.8 rebounds. He averages 3.8 assists. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns has put up some numbers now for a while.
Well, is it in what order do you want them on your team? That's another question. I want, you know, if I on my team. I might take Anthony Edwards first, in what order I want him on my team, based on age and ability. Because, you know, Anthony, and because Karl Anthony's been around a while. Anthony Davis, I just can't count on.
Karl Anthony is 23.2 and 11.3 are his career averages.
Right, but he's also never there. He's an older player. I would take Anthony Edwards. Right now, in the hopper, I would take Anthony Edwards ahead of him.
Anthony's pretty healthy. He had 1 year where he wasn't, and he had the bubble year.
Yep. Yeah.
But he's been pretty healthy. No, not AD. I mean, AD has his issues.
But you know what? I haven't seen Karl Anthony win at all. I mean, until now.
Yeah.
I mean, until this year, we haven't seen him be able to win at all. Of course, we didn't see Anthony Davis win at all either when he was in New Orleans. And, then all of a sudden.
Been in the playoffs, though. I mean, he's been good enough to get his team to the playoffs.
I would lower Ben Simmons. I'd be lower than you guys are just because. And Zion Williamson, to me, is like eighth on the list.
You're letting your personal stuff get in. That guy averaged 27 points a game.
But he doesn't play.
Yeah, but he didn't play this year. He had his injury. That's true. He had his injury the first year. Then he averaged 27 points a game. And then he didn't play at all this year. But, like.
I mean, I want a guy that plays.
Okay, but if you had. See, that's why this is a tricky conversation. Because you say, if I had to know right now how they would rank. Like, are you saying who would you want over the next 3 years? That's a separate conversation. Although everyone on this list is young enough that you could use any of these.
Yeah,
guys,
right. I mean, the oldest is Anthony Davis, 10 years old.
You can still use.
Again,
Anthony
he's breaking
Davis.
Down. This is how this person ranked it. Locked On Network: Anthony Davis one, Cade Cunningham two, Zion Williamson three, Anthony Edwards four, Karl Anthony Towns five, DeAndre Ayton, Ben Simmons, Andrew Wiggins, Markelle Fultz, and Anthony Bennett. On every measure, Anthony Bennett is last, and Markelle Fultz is second to last. But Cade Cunningham second and Zion Williamson third? I mean, okay. I guess. Boy, you want to talk about recency bias. Cade Cunningham is, it to me, I mean, I didn't like him in college anyway, though. I just wanted to see how you what you guys thought. And it's obviously different than what this guy thought. I was like, RJ sent this to us and said, is this your list? And my immediate answer was, hell no, that's not my list. That's not my list. Cade Cunningham second by in no way, shape, or form. 7-3, 7-8-0.
I'm just telling you now, I could see a world where Karl Anthony Towns in 2 years is put ahead of Anthony Davis. If Davis doesn't start to show he can stay around and stay healthy, I mean, Karl Anthony Towns is really becoming a just – we don't talk about him with Embiid. We don't talk about him with Jokic, and I'm fine with that. But he is in that next level. He shoots from he's got three-point range. He was the three-point champ this year in the three-point shootout. For those who don't follow All-Star Weekend, Karl Anthony Towns was your three-point king this year. From range, he shoots 41%. Do you know that Karl Anthony Towns, for his career, is shooting 39.7% from three? He shot over 40% four different years during his career. He's almost a 40% career three-point shooter. And I'm talking about this is a guy who takes over 300 per year. So he's getting off three-point shots. He shoots, from a free throw standpoint, 82%. Here's his career three-point percentage. Think about this, John. This is Karl Anthony Towns. He shoots 52.7% from the field, 39.7% from three. He's close to the magic 40% mark for his career, and he shoots 83% from the free throw line. Karl Anthony Towns is getting close to being an 80, a 40, and a 50 shooter for a big. That's incredible.
Yeah, and until this year when he got Anthony Edwards, they haven't done nothing. He's done nothing.
Well, he made the playoffs in what, 18, 16, 18, one of the, I think it was 18 he made the playoffs because I remember watching him. And I think the Rockets played him. And then this year, too. I mean, you can't put anything on him. That's not on his performance.
No.
It's on what's around him. And he was on a really bad team. But I think Karl Anthony Towns shoots from range, has a post-up game, has a face-up game, shoots. He's a very accurate shooter from the free throw line and from three. He's not a soft rebounder. He grabs double-digit rebounds a game. Like, that's a guy that probably doesn't get enough love. It also speaks to how loaded the NBA is right now with young players. Just loaded. And to the renaissance of the big. The renaissance of the big,
yep,
which we talked about here with Embiid and Jokic and guys who are not tall, skinny guys and not just stretch fours, but true bigs.
Yep.
Like, it may look different than a lot of people watch growing up. It doesn't look like Hakeem Olajuwon and Patrick Ewing anymore. It looks different. You know, it's the big man is asked to do different things this year, but man, those are some really good bigs.
All right, when we come back, we're going
to
talk.
And Şengün, I forgot to throw in. Oh, Jokic.
Yeah. And Şengün.
Yeah. Jokic, Karl Anthony. Embiid, Karl Anthony, Şengün, all the best bigs in the league.
When we come back, Matt Hayes from Saturday Down South. We're going to talk about this, the fallout from Jimbo and Nick Saban. That'll come your way next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, let's get some seats to a game.
Simple Seats. My brother used Simple Seats. Actually, I think he is this week. I need to check and see if he went to the game this weekend when my son graduated. And I know Mike and Lisa came in, and they love coming in from Tomball area to go watch Astros. For some of you, when you come in from out of town, you're like, man, we're going to make a weekend of it. We're going to make a night of it. You may go get your hotel room, and you're going to get your tickets. And listen, I don't want you to have to pay too much for your tickets. And the tickets are the tickets. Whatever the price is, the price is. It's and we're okay with that. We as consumers are okay with that. What we don't like is the fees that are added on. We can't stand it. I was looking at comedy tickets. I can't wait for Simple Seats to get in with comedy so I could see Bill Burr without paying ridiculous fees on that one too. I closed the browser. I'm like, I'm not getting these comedy tickets until Simple Seats is doing this, because Simple Seats gets you great prices with no fees ever. All you pay is the price of the ticket, and you pay your tax, and that's it. So whatever the price is that you're looking for in that particular area, in that particular section, or in that zone, is going to be the price along with the tax. You never, ever pay a fee with Simple Seats. The guy that started the company used to work with the Astros ticketing department, so he knows what he's doing. Go to SimpleSeats.com, get zone seating, and save even more money if you choose to do that as well. But these are going to be the best prices you're going to find. Dynamo, Texans games. You've got, and of course, Astros games right now. SimpleSeats.com. SimpleSeats.com. Use promo code Lance10 to get $10 off your first order of $50 or more.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.